know, I really haven't had a chance to do any of that yet. You know, we'll just see how the week plays out. And, you know, we just started the week with our players here about an hour and a half ago. So we'll see.
Hey, Brad, Rob Domofsky from the Green Bay Press Gazette. Can you update us on Winfield and Berrien?
Probably not until after practice today, Rob. You know, both have been in, both have treated here, and I know certainly far be it from me to rule those two out. Those are two tough guys. I'll do everything I can to try to get back here.
Chili, it's Jason Wilde. How did Favre do with his emotions the first time around? What did you think of just how he was during the week and how he was on game day and how he was as the game went on? And obviously, he had a lot of success in terms of how he played.
You know, I thought he was very resolute in his preparation, which is, you know, something I've come to learn about him. He does spend an extraordinary amount of time that normal people wouldn't see, but he spends time in the building and spends time in his craft, and he spent a great amount of time preparing for that game, like he has for all of our opponents. And you know, I thought he did a great job keeping whatever emotions he may have had in check.
Brad Thomas, how you doing?
Good, Tom.
Have you had much contact with him this week at all? Do you see anything different?
I don't know. What do you call it, a 5 o'clock shadow? I don't, you know, nothing that's, you know, remarkable or anything like that. I mean, it's, like I said, start of an NFL work week here for the players.
So, hey, it's Jason again. What, from a game planning perspective, how do you prepare for the uncertainty on the Packers' offensive line? You don't know who they're going to go with, and does that impact Jared and the Williams guys at all?
Well, you know, it usually doesn't impact it schematically what you're going to do, because they're going to attack us a certain way, regardless of who's out there, and, you know, and maybe check individuals, and we're going to attack them a certain way. We play a certain style of defense. You know, it looks like it's been fairly solidified. I know who the, you know, the movable parts are, and our guys know who the movable parts are too, by way of scouting report. But their individual film studies will include all the guys that have played along there, and I'm sure go back to Tauscher. And you know, you try to be comprehensive as you can be.
Hey, Coach. Bill Huber from Packer Report. The Packers pretty well sold off to stop Adrian last time. Do you think you guys could be stopped if a defense plays you that way?
Well, I think it's usually, you know, that's, it's usually how most defense coordinators head. I think I may have said this to you folks last time. I've never met a defense coordinator yet that doesn't say let's stop the run and let them get the yards to give it the pass. And it's, you know, it's a double-edged sword. You guys decide how you're going to stop it, when you're going to stop it, those type of things.
Brad, Mark Daniels from WTAQ. What's impressed you about the Packer defense in the last two they've played since your game?
Well, they got a couple of new starters. I think it's helped them to obviously get their safety back. We're familiar with him. He's a good football player, and he obviously has spent some time in the off season with that defense, and you know, good physical football player, Bigby, and then you see the young guy Matthews, who made a great play against us last time, playing on the outside. He's a big, strong, active guy. We loved him coming out as well, you know, and he's. He flies around and gets his hands on balls. I mean, he can make things happen.
Brad,
Brad, Tom Oates again. How has your team reacted to the first loss Sunday?
Well, I think, you know, you get information as well from losing as well as you do from winning. I just think it's important that, obviously, it doesn't define them. They take what the good and take the bad and make improvements and continue to grow. And that's the big thing is that you learn. I mean, whether it's the last game we played against Green Bay or the games in between or last week's game, you learn and you're able to apply some of the things you learned positively and negatively in the next game.
Jason Wilde again, Brad. I know you don't know what the status is going to be for Winfield, but what does a guy of that caliber mean to your defense, and how much more challenging does it become if you don't have him?
You know what? He's a very, very good football player, and he obviously has familiarity in the NFC North. You know, I mentioned last week that I don't put anything past Antoine in terms of making it back in the field, because my first year I did that and he fought his way out of the field when he had an injury occur. You know, he's a good leader, he's a good player. With that said, I thought the guys that rolled through there did a nice job with a full week of preparation, both outside and at the nickel spot. Asher Allen and Benny Sapp and Carl Pam, I thought they all did a nice job.
So, Brad, is this? I know you don't want to. What was the line you had for us last time? That they haven't put the big top over Winter Park or whatever. I know you don't want to play into the hype or whatever. But isn't this an awfully big game, regardless of, you know, Favre coming back here?
You know, I'm not going to fall into the awfully big. You know, we kind of pride ourselves on 1/16th game. Do we understand ramifications within the NFC and within the NFC North? Sure we do. Just the same as Green Bay does. So, you know, it's our eighth game. We happen to follow this one with a bye and then, you know, approach the second half of the season. But, you know, you don't want to, there's no reason to push everything all in. It's important. Is it significant in the NFC North? It can be. Just because of what the process is.
Brad, Rob Domofsky again. Do you think Brett is dreading this or looking forward to this game?
Probably a good one for Brett.
Well, we don't get him.
Yeah, I wouldn't even conjecture on that.
Brett, Tom Oates, are teams loading up? Have you found most of your opponents try to stop Peterson first and then the pass, and do you see it changing at all due to your success?
No, I just think that's the, you know, I've yet to hear a defensive coordinator in this league say, hey, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to come in and concede the run and we're going to take away the pass in this game. There's just nobody that does it that way, who, regardless of who your running back is, unless you're completely, you know, one-dimensional. I can remember a time in Philadelphia where I believe John Lynch, when we played him at Denver, said, you know, you hope to make a team one-dimensional. But Philadelphia already was. They threw it all the time. They kind of eschewed the run. Somewhere you have to take something. And generally with us, at least from what I've seen, you know, they're going to approach it from the standpoint of trying to get an eighth guy in a box. Everybody in the NFL does it that way. I mean, by formation, everybody is going to drop a guy down with an eighth guy. They're going to try to get numbers on you, regardless of if you're in a one-back set or a two-back set or a two-tight-end set. They're going to try to have one more than you got.
Charlie, Jason Wilde again. Would you prefer, though, not to have Brett throw the ball 50 or 40 times, or do you think you can win that way?
Well, you can win a lot of different ways. It's just a matter of, you know, adjusting as you go along. If somebody's going to set their sail and do things that are what I say, dare you to throw the football, yeah, you're gonna put the football up the field. That's what those guys on the outside, the tight ends and the running backs, are getting paid for as well. So my personal preference is not to throw it 50 times, but any port in a storm, you got to do what you got to do.
How much of a difference maker has Harvin been for you?
No, Percy's a good player. He's, he's explosive, and he's different, I think, than, a lot of first-round wideouts from the standpoint that of how he's played the game at Florida. Sometimes first-round wideouts don't show up simply for the fact that there's some unknowns when you throw the football, whether it's the weather conditions, whether it's the coverage, the flight of the ball in the air. But you can hand it to him. He can return the football. He can run around, and he can get himself open. So he's a nice added tool in the toolbox.
Hey, Coach, Bill from Packer Report again. You pretty well had your way with the Packers, it looked like, in that first matchup. Is there anything, after watching the film, that you thought that you had to get better at?
Yeah, I don't know if we had our way or not. I thought they were very stingy against us running the football. I thought they played very physical along the front, and but we may have broke a couple runs. I thought, by and large, they were pretty stout.
Brad, Steve White with the NFL Network. To get back to Harvin's development, do you think having a veteran like Brett, who's seen pretty much everything in this league, has helped him accelerate that in terms of letting Percy know some things of what to expect and the adjustments he needs to make?
Steve, let me preface my remarks by saying I got a question earlier about the Big Top, so it sounds like the Big Top is down there.
My presence did that for you, huh, Brad?
This week. Yeah, well, I know Jason's usually there, and Tom's usually there, and Rob's usually there, but, you just kind of outed the three ring, only to grow. I just think he has a good way. Fred has a good way with all those wideouts, whatever their age is. And I know I've said before, that was the first guy that he came face-to-face with when he walked in the building, as chance would have it. He's got a good relationship with the tight end Shanko and Sidney Rice, and he's developing a good relationship with Percy. And, of course, Percy is a wide-eyed learner. He's going to listen to what he has to say and take it and internalize it. And that's very good from that standpoint.
Chili, it's Jason again. Do you have to do anything different in terms of on Saturday night down in Appleton or anything, just because of the idiot factor of fans or anything like that? Do you have to take any extra precautions or do anything security-wise?
I don't know. It's not, it's not Madison on Halloween, I don't think. Appleton is quite as celebrated. I don't think it's Carbondale. But I don't know. Somebody from the paper mill in might be able to give me more direction on that.
Seriously, you're not worried or anything like that? Just with the attention and the, I guess, the emotions in the fan base?
You're going to have to define worried for me. Am I worried about an assault on the hotel by some people in the line of Mardi Gras that seems to take siege to the place? Or?
Well, I guess just, I don't know, whether it's being loud and obnoxious or, just, I don't know. I don't know what people are capable of. I just, I'm just wondering what the atmosphere is going to be like, given how hot and cold some people's emotions are running on this.
We travel with security, and they do a great job down there. I don't know if it'll be any noisier than it usually is there. I mean, that bar gets going pretty good.
All
in that place anyway, so but we're kind of away from that. Do I need to keep an eye on any of you guys? Are you guys going to come down and take in some of the revelry? Or
if you're buying.
You know, that might be a problem in Wisconsin in general.